For a few weeks, we've been looking at Acts chapter 2, and I've been particularly focusing on verse 42, and I put the words of verse 42 on the service sheet. It can be translated like this: and they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and the prayers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and the prayers. In Acts chapter 2, we have an example. We have a pattern, or a model. We are looking at those who were first converted by the preaching of Peter and John, and we're looking at their life together. And the life that they lived is described in Acts chapter 2 and the verses that I read. And you can see, if you look, we're looking at the life of the early Christians as, if you like, a pattern for us. This is being put in the scripture so that we may learn from it and we may become what we should be. And you will notice, won't you, that the life of the early Christians had a focus. If it was anything, it was a focused life. And if you have the text open in front of you, that sense of concentration or focus comes out in words like, they continued steadfastly, or probably better to translate it, they devoted themselves. They were focusing on this. And in verse 46, the word daily is there. The word daily, they were found daily in this matter. In other words, in their life, there were certain things which were regular and frequent. And the four things mentioned in our verse 42, Luke, who wrote this book, Luke has listed four things. He said they continued, they devoted themselves to what? One, the apostles' doctrine. Two, well, we'll think about this, fellowship. Three, the breaking of bread, and that's there, that's the Lord's Supper. That's the breaking of bread, and for the prayers. So these were the things that occupied the minds and the daily lives of the early Christians. And this morning I want to spend just a short while on the question of fellowship. I've underlined it on your service sheet. The word fellowship, okay? And I want to begin by asking the question, what is fellowship? What is meant by fellowship? Well, the word fellowship means, first of all, it means being in a position or a standing. It's like being in partnership, or associated with. It's to do with the position that you're in. In other words, there was a bond between the early Christians which held them together. They knew that they belonged together. Do you notice that the last words in our chapter, the Lord, what did he do? He added to the church. In other words, those that he was calling and saving, he was bringing them together and adding them to his body, adding them to the church. It's interesting that when our Lord Jesus came, he said that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. So he came to seek lost sheep. But at the same time, he says he comes to build his church. And you see, the lost sheep, if you like, are the members of his church. They are brought into his body, his church. So it puts fellowship is to be in a position of being united to others, a partnership, if you like. But fellowship is much more than being in a position. It is also something that is active. Active. Do you notice, for example, in verse 44, it says, "Now all who believed were together," that's the position they were in, "and they had all things in common." And that word "in common" is the same root as the word "fellowship." They had all things in common. In other words, being together, they shared their possessions. They used what they had to meet the needs of others. And so we're looking at being together, belonging together, but we're also looking about an activity when we're together, or activities. And I think that the essential, the word that we should use is the word sharing. Sharing. They were living a shared life. And really what that involves is that, if I'll put it this way, the flow of goods among them, the flow of good things. Now the word for fellowship in the Greek, I've written it on the service sheet for those who want to know it, but it's the word koinonia. And koinonia, I believe, is better translated communion. I think there's been a downgrading of this word into the word fellowship in some contexts, particularly the benediction. Because communion involves, if you like, more than being together. It involves communicating good things to one another. Paul wanted to go to Rome because he wanted to impart to them some spiritual gift. And this is at the heart of fellowship. So let me say again, fellowship, I'll still use that word, but fellowship, koinonia, communion, means being united together, being connected, but also outworking that connection in imparting good things to others. I'll use this term again, the flow of goods, or the sharing of goods. Now, the word in this verse, the word fellowship is one of four words, isn't it? Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, or communion and prayers. One of four things. But the point is this: although it's one of four things, it covers the lot. It covers everything. If you like, there was a sharing in the doctrine. There was a sharing in the breaking of bread. There was a sharing in prayers. You see, it's in a way, fellowship, or the communion of the saints, is a comprehensive factor. It covers the whole of the Christian life. What I'm saying is this, that the Christian life is a shared life. I'll say it again. The Christian life is a shared life. And we see a picture of it in verses 44 to 46. You can see there, all who were believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all. They divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that doesn't mean they had communion at home, that means that they had meals together. That's what it's talking about there. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Think about it. They cared for one another's needs, and they shared food, they had meals together in their one another's homes. That's what they did. When you read this passage, you know that they were physically together. You would find them together. And that's what Luke is trying to show us. He said, this is what the early church's life was like. I heard once of a hermit. In the early church, there were all kinds of strange people, and hermits went to live out in the desert all by themselves and get away from everyone else who's wicked. But this hermit was visited by someone once, and he had one question for him. Who do you love? Who do you love? Out there in the desert, all by yourself, who do you love? Where are your brothers and sisters? How are you treating your brothers and sisters? Where do you love? So this is fellowship. This is fellowship. It is being connected, but it is also actually working out that connection in imparting good things to one another. The Christian life is a shared life. Now, two more things this morning. First of all, let me ask you, how do you read this verse? There you have it. Well, it's on the service sheet. Do you read it this way? They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, comma, and fellowship, comma, and the breaking of bread, the communion, comma, and the prayers. Is that how you read it? Or do you read it, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship? See the point? What precisely is Luke talking about here? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Well, what I want to say this morning is that they had fellowship with the apostles. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's not to exclude the body, but their fellowship was particularly with the apostles. And let me think for a moment with you about what that would have involved, having fellowship with the apostles. Well, first of all, it put them in the position of being their disciples. Okay? They looked at the apostles and they said, we are their disciples. They are the ones who we want to teach us. They are the ones that we are listening to. It's interesting, isn't it, that the position of a disciple is often described by the word yoke. Yoke. Our Lord Jesus talked about, take my yoke upon you. The yoke of the apostles. What it means is that when you become a disciple of Christ, you are joined to him. The yoke was a wooden bar, effectively, that held two animals together. You would take two oxen and yoke them together, so they had to go where one went, the other had to go. And this is a picture of discipleship, that if you become a disciple, as they became of the apostles, they had to go where the apostles went. They were stuck to the apostles, if you like. They were disciples. And through that, they were disciples of Christ. But it also involves the fellowship with the apostles also involves a flow of goods between them. Both ways. Those who joined themselves to the apostles received from them the flow of spiritual gifts. Remember, Paul said this in Rome. He said, I want to impart some spiritual gift to you. And I want you to, if you have a Bible, you can turn over to 1 John chapter 1, again, where we read. And the Apostle John, this is much later now, he is still talking about fellowship with the apostles. Still. And you can see, in verse 3, if you like, the essence of fellowship with the apostles, he says, that which we have seen and heard. Now, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard, what? We declare to you, now here it is, this is something coming to them from the apostles. We are declaring to you the word of Christ. What? That you may have fellowship with us. And he goes on, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so what we have in the fellowship of the apostles, we have them giving them the truth of Christ, which flows from them, if you like. It's that, what are they imparting? The Apostle Paul, who wasn't there on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Paul had great concerns about this factor. What I'm talking about is the apostles speaking to the church, to believers, in order that they might have fellowship together. Listen, he says to them, O Corinthians, this is 2 Corinthians 6, O Corinthians, listen, we have spoken openly to you. He says, our heart is wide open. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, this is how we have dealt with you. We have spoken openly and our heart is open to you. But Paul had a problem, that the heart of the Corinthians was closed to him. And it was even worse than that, that they were attracted to other teachers who turned out to be false teachers. And Paul is dealing with a problem in the Corinthian church. He's saying to them, look, we have come to you. We have opened our hearts to you. We have spoken to you openly. But what's happening in your hearts? What's wrong there? You have closed your heart to us and opened your heart to others who will mislead you. And it's in this context he says this. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, those of you who were on the church holiday last year will remember that Arthur Bentley Taylor expounded this passage to us in a very excellent way. And he makes the point that when Paul speaks to the Corinthian church like this, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? He's asking the question, what do you share, or really, how can you possibly share with false teachers? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? You see, he's asking them, what do you have in common with them? There are many religions and other teachers in this world, and the child of God has nothing in common with them. We cannot have fellowship with Muslims who teach a false teaching. We cannot have fellowship with Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the deity of Christ. And so it goes on. There is an impossibility of having fellowship with false teachers. And Paul appeals to them not to do that. Surely that's impossible. But he says this, open your hearts to us. In other words, engage in fellowship with us. And this is really what is partly involved in Acts chapter 2. The fellowship of the apostles. Open your heart to us. You see, the fellowship of the apostles was to receive their witness, to receive the truth and the gospel that they declared. But there is one more part to this. It was a two-way sharing of goods, because the disciples, the early church, also supported the apostles, if you like, with money or food, practically. They supported the ministry of the apostles. If you could put yourself back into the temple. And we saw a couple of weeks ago that they were in Solomon's porch over here. And there you'd find the apostles gathered with the disciples. And then on the other side, so to speak, there was the temple with the priests and the sacrifices. And Paul says somewhere, they are maintained out of the sacrifices. In other words, they eat from the offerings. But he says, it's for those who preach the gospel, Christ has, as it were, committed them to the support of the church. Listen, he says, if we have sown spiritual things to you, is it a great thing if we reap material things? Do you not know, this is Paul, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And when the disciples were supported by the church, this was the pattern they'd already seen in the life of Christ. There's something quite remarkable in Luke chapter 8 and verses 1 to 3. Our Lord Jesus in his ministry was supported by a small number of faithful women. Those women, so worthy, their names are recorded by Luke. These are the women who kept our Lord in his ministry. And so you have this. This was, so the apostles' doctrine was what they were teaching. The apostles' fellowship was also what they were giving to them. So doctrine and fellowship goes together. And the church was also communicating good things to them. Now, thirdly and finally this morning, I've tried briefly to explain, and I say briefly, what Christian fellowship really is. Okay. It is a shared life. It is a shared life. It is communicating good to one another. But what I want to say thirdly, and I may have to complete this on another occasion, the foundation of fellowship. What is the foundation of fellowship? Well, I'm asking really, when I ask the question, what is the foundation of Christian fellowship? I'm really asking, what is the key to the Christian life? What's the foundations of the Christian life? And the answer to that question is that we are united to Christ. That's the crux. But there can be fellowship. There will be fellowship. Inevitably, there will be fellowship. There must be fellowship among those who are united to Christ. It's as we are united to our head that we are united to one another. And that's, if you don't receive anything else this morning, this is crucial, this is fundamental. Okay? It is as we are united to Christ, so we have fellowship with one another. If you go back to the early church, what happened? Read Acts 2 again, what happened? At first, they had crucified Christ. Why, they thought he was an imposter. They thought they were doing the will of God. And then, all of a sudden, like a bolt out of the blue, they realized through the ministry that they crucified the Messiah. They killed the Prince of Life. And their view of Christ was totally turned upside down. But then they had a problem. What do you do when you've killed the Lord of glory? What do you do when you've crucified the Messiah? And Peter tells them what to do. And so you see, as they are cut to the heart and brought to their knees because of their hatred of Christ, and yet they're brought to him. Peter doesn't say run away from him, he says come to him. And they become Christ's. And when they become Christ's, they become the possession of one another as well. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, God is faithful, listen, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul there is talking about people who've been saved. They've been saved. He says, when you are saved, God has called you into the fellowship of his Son, That's what salvation is, being called into the fellowship or the communion of his Son. The Bible tells us that God the Father gave us his Son. This is, if you like, heaven's fellowship, gave us his Son. And we can say, if we have received his Son, we can say, I am his and he is mine. This is the position we're in. There is a hymn that we sing, isn't there? I am his and he is mine. And the Holy Spirit takes the Christian and he unites him to Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you and he binds you to Christ. He unites you to Christ. He feeds you on Christ. He gives you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how people are cut to the heart. That's how they are led to believe in him. And the Holy Spirit brings to a person, this is why it's called in the benediction, the communion of the Holy Spirit. What is this? He is bringing to you Christ, and with Christ, all the good things that come from him. And you see, this is the foundation of the fellowship of the church. If we are united to Christ, then we are united to one another. Let me go further this morning. The love of Christ is the foundation for the love between us. He says to us, love one another as I have loved you. And I would say to you, if you know that you have been loved, that has an impact upon you, does it not? We learn love from God by receiving it from him through his Son. And that love has a great impact on the soul of a born-again Christian. His mercy towards undeserving sinners is what steers and shapes our relationship with others. Remember the parable of the unforgiving servant? If we have been so forgiven, what is it to forgive one another small offences? What kind of Christian, as it were, remains hating his brothers when he's been so forgiven, so had mercy upon him? You see, the impact of Christ coming to a man changes his heart. This is the heart of fellowship, Christ in you and you in him. I'm going to leave it there except for one thing. There is a symbol of this fellowship before us on the Lord's table. Paul says about this, listen, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? What Paul is saying is this. When we come to this table, the wine and the bread, as it were, are symbols of our communion with Christ. He has given us his blood, given us his body. And he goes on, for we, though many, are one bread and one body. We all partake of that one bread. In other words, what Paul's saying is, when we come to this table, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ come to this table and we are one with him. He's given us his body. He's given us his blood. And we all partake of the same bread. This, as it were, symbolically is the focus of our unity as children, brothers and sisters of Christ. I'm going to stop there this morning. There's a lot more to say. I never expected to finish at all. But this is our concern. In the early church, there was close daily fellowship. Their hearts were open to one another. Their homes were open to one another. They shared their food. They shared the faith that they believed. They had the same teaching. They went home having listened to the same teachers talking about the same truth. They prayed together. They prayed together. They came to the Lord's table together. This is, if you like, a little dip into the fellowship of the early church, and it's desirable. It's a joyful thing. It's a thing to covet. Is your fellowship with Christ? Do you have communion with Christ? Do you receive from him spiritual things? Then you have communion with one another, and that must be exercised. Amen.